Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the Coworking Startup School. We're switching gears from Community Manager University. I want to get the doors open to the Coworking Startup School one more time this year, and they're actually open right now. They close tomorrow, Thursday, the 21st of November, depending on when you're listening to this. If you're listening to it in real time, that's tomorrow. I will open another cohort in March of 2020, but if you're ready to start your journey now to design and launch a profitable coworking space that you love to run, then jump in with us for the next cohort. If you're not already on my mailing list and you want the details, go to www.coworkingstartupschool.com to opt in, and I'll get you all the details to how the program works and how you can participate. Today's guests are Greg Copeland and Mercedes Howard. They are directors on Court's strategic business development team. And if you're not familiar with Court, we kind of run through that in the episode, but they are furniture suppliers. They have a furniture as a service platform. So it offers a lot of flexibility if you are starting a space and don't want to purchase your furniture, but want to lease furniture, which can be a great way to save on startup costs. Or you're testing, you want to understand, do my members need lockers? Do they need sit-to-stand desks? Do they want dedicated desks with filing cabinets? If you don't know, because most of us are just guessing, right? We get to know our ideal customer avatar, which is the very first module we go through in the Coworking Startup School. But you're really just guessing until you open your doors and get to really know your members. So this can be a super flexible way to approach things. And I met Mercedes in the past and met Greg at the GWA conference this year, and we got to talking, and I said, you know, I feel like people just aren't familiar with this option, and I want to help make sure that people know this exists. So had them on, they kind of run through how it works, and I asked them a bunch of what if questions. So hope you enjoy the episode. And again, Startup School closes tomorrow. So if you're interested, www.coworkingstartupschool.com. Welcome. I have, this might be the first time ever, I have to thank two special guests with me today. I have Mercedes Howard and Greg Copeland, and I've met both of them in person. Greg was at the GWA conference in DC this year. They are directors on Court's strategic business development team, and they help clients across various industries, including co-working, flexible office, formulate creative solutions to address the needs of their ever-evolving businesses. And Greg and I connected and said we should do an episode and help my listeners understand what the possibilities are. Court is flexible furniture as a service provider. I'll let Greg and Mercedes talk more about Court and what they do and what the possibilities are there. But I'm excited to dive in because furniture is such a core component of starting a co-working space and designing it to fit the needs of our target member, and keeping up with kind of the latest trends is always a challenge, and the expense of furnishing a co-working space. It's a huge part of the startup costs of the business. So Greg and Mercedes, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
Mercedes is coming out of Nashville, Tennessee, and Greg is in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We were just talking about how hip and cool Milwaukee's gotten, and Nashville. We were talking about that before too. Two like smaller markets that are just on their way up.
Very true. We have definitely more bachelorettes here than in Milwaukee. but yes, Greg and I talk all the time. We feel very fortunate to be where we are and get to do what we do, home and travel the country, getting to do exactly what you said, just help show people other options they have for their businesses and help everybody participate in the shared economy. So thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So dive in. I'll let you guys decide who's going to cover what here. We have a kind of a plan for our line of questioning. Talk about who Court is, kind of your history and what you do, and then we'll kind of dive into some of the details of how you fit sure. into flexible workspace.
Sure. So Court as a business, obviously we've been the nation's leader in, I would say, furniture as a service, but also transition services for over 45 years. And it's not just workplace. We cover kind of that plethora of anything that you need during a transition for on residential apartments and homes, event, trade show, touring and destination services. kind of a fun fact for most folks that don't see Cord outside of a nice, great red truck that we have.
I was going to say, right, for anybody who can't picture, wait until the next time you see the big red truck.
You're
like, oh, them.
Yeah, it's like when you buy a new car and then all of a sudden you see everybody else having the same car as you. But once you know that there's a big red truck, you'll see it in, you know, we have 100 plus locations throughout the country. And we also support in over 80 countries around the globe. And what's interesting about that is we do also have a brick and mortar in London. So we support our customers and their needs kind of as that one point of contact wherever they're going. So that's kind of the background and history of Cord.
And you do event services. We were eyeballing up the setup of an event that was in the space prior to our event in DC. And they said, oh, it all came from Cord. We just rented it and it showed up.
Yeah. We were just actually out at Cornet and we noticed that, you know, we are a big player in the event and trade show business as well. Yeah. And every booth, all their product in the entire event was Cord product. So it's nice to see us in there in a little bit different of a way. And it's easy for us to tell people what we have when we're saying, well, you're sitting on our stuff right now. So.
Right. Totally. So I have a bunch of sort of real tactical questions about how it works, but talk to us about, so if I'm starting a flexible workspace or any type of workspace for that matter, and I'm making my furniture decisions, where do you fit in?
Well, our solution in that approach when we sit down with customers is our furniture as a service solution. It's really kind of changing the mindset and the way that furniture is used within the workplace. It's like a subscription service. So we provide solutions when you need them for as long as you need them, and then they're gone when you don't. So it's kind of like the Netflix select, use, return model. And then the second kind of prong of that approach is we sit down and we try to align real estate goals now and in the future with what they need for permanent and flexible assets. So, you know, as it relates to the environment and what people are looking for in the future as it relates to their business changes, we help them stay flexible. And then we also are transparent. We tell them when they need to be permanent and when they need to have temporary product so that they can pivot as their business needs. That's kind of the top end approach on that.
So when you say subscription service, how does that work? So I'm starting a space and I need desks and chairs and lobby furniture and, you know, a reception desk and conference room furniture and all those things. How does that work from a financial structure?
So when we look at the space, a great question, because we'll say, well, like a subscription, because you are renting it. And when you're renting it, we take on all the risk of owning the product. But on the like a subscription side, it gives you the ability to actually furnish what you need on the front end, because a lot of groups that we work with don't need to actually furnish their entire space. They just need to furnish a piece of it. As their business grows or as their needs change, they can continue to add on the back end. And then the strategy of that is it allows them to actually spend money only on what they need as they're moving through this evolution of their space. And then once they do get to that point where they've kind of peaked, then they can think about it as going down the permanent road. So the like a subscription is that they do end up renting it. And we do rentals anywhere from 1 month up to 5 years in our core workplace and residential. And then obviously in our event and trade shows, we can do it all the way down to 1 day.
So what happens after 5 years?
After 5 years, we just come and pick it up. So as part of the
program. What if I have a 10-year lease?
Well, if you have a 10-year lease, that's a great question. We have a little bit different.
You're coming with a red truck and you're taking all the furniture at 5 years.
Well, so, you know, we constantly engage with our customers through the process of service. So, you know, whether it's an annual review or whether it's biannual review, we're kind of identifying what the changes are. And this is where we say the agility and the pivot piece of our service. So when we come in and we continuously engage with our customers, we know what's going to happen, or they know what's going to happen more likely in 12 months than they do in 60 or the 5 year. So if we constantly address what their needs are and as they change, we can actually leave the furniture there. They can continue to re-rent it, or again, using the word pivot, we can pivot the space into a completely different setup that meets their next 5 year needs. And then they just continue to rent what they need to rent. If they end up not changing anything, we do have the ability through our automatic purchase option where they can actually acquire the product at the end of their 5 year lease from us at a depreciated rate, obviously.
Yep, got it. How does servicing the furniture? Somebody spills coffee on my chair. Do you guys offer cleaning service or does somebody handle that locally?
So when we have to do anything as it relates to service, and if someone calls us and says, hey, we need to change a chair, we just come and pick it up and replace it with a different one. So that's how easy the service is. If something's damaged, if it's natural wear and tear, we don't really come and ask them to pay for that. Because that's just the way that, business as usual.
Yep.
But if it is some sort of a blatant or something damage like that, again, on the front end of the relationship, we discuss what those types of fees are for replacing and repairing. So.
Got it. But right. Even the ability to, one of the big challenges, there are a lot of challenges related to furniture with space, but when people are starting new spaces, we talk a lot about, people always ask like, what if people want to bring their own furniture? Well, then where are you going to put the furniture that you had in the office? It's typically standard that you would, the co-working model in particular tends to be furnished, right? It's plug and play. You want to move in. You don't want to make a bunch of decisions. You just want to come in and have a nice stylish desk and office and a super comfy chair that you can sit in all day. But if somebody wants to bring their own for whatever reason, now you got to have a place to store it. And no co-working space wants to allocate a bunch of storage room for furniture because that's space that they is not revenue generating, which is our whole business model. So I presume in that case, say I have, 50 offices and, four of them want to self furnish, you could come take it away.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Jamie. It's a good point because it's not only unique to the co-working industry, that question of storage and, and what will you do with this short-term, long-term, but Greg and I in particular see it all the time with our large enterprise clients who for years, have gotten into this buying cycle where, you purchase all of the assets, all the furniture up front. Of course, they become obsolete, whether it's style or, company needs, headcount, whatever it is. And suddenly now all of those assets need to go into some warehouse, in some random location, and they will sit. And the idea maybe is that furniture could be redeployed to other locations. And it's great when that solution can be implemented. But in most cases it can't. And so, we end up with these, it's sort of like an episode like TLC hoarding, where you've stacks, and Greg and I have had horror
just
stories.
To bring it home.
Going to warehouses and even, very engaged facility managers will not have seen this stuff in years. And unfortunately there's no value left, to it. And it's actually going to cost money to get it off their hands.
To get rid of it. Right.
Yeah. I think part of what Greg mentioned about having an ongoing conversation and sort of taking the pulse of whatever type of space you're working within is having conversations about, do you understand the cost of ownership from the perspective of the total cost of ownership, those hidden costs that you do not take into account until it's too late.
And I think, to your point, it feels to me, maybe this has been always, that just the rate of sort of change and evolution is just, it's fast. And so, in 5 years, do you want all the stuff you started with 5 years ago, or do you want an opportunity to swap it out? And even Greg, you mentioned sort of the flexibility on the front end. We talk a lot about that with spaces that are opening, thinking through like, okay, well, how many dedicated desks do I need? I don't know. You don't know until your customers show up. But so, how do you furnish sort of eat simply over time? Then you run into the, well, if I'm buying contract furniture, I have to order 3 months in advance, depending, maybe not, but could be the case. So with your solution, you could be more involved probably with the space, up front and start doing those assessments and say, oh, you need, five more, desks and chairs and, rolling file cabinets. We can bring that next week if you need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just touching on in our introduction about our 100 locations, of that 100 locations, 56 of them are warehouses. So within those warehouses, we own our assets and, the ability for us to deliver and install and do a setup for a customer is instead of the lead time of, 5-6 months is really down to the lead time as almost as soon as 48 hours. So most of our enterprise customers, it's probably within 5 to 7 to 10 business days, but we have the ability to get businesses as they're evolving, as they're starting up, or even as they're transitioning to test out markets to help them go to market much faster. And all the other things the same. We have a design team in-house and everything kind of works the same. And then we're able to deliver much quicker for our customers.
And then also, I think the other advantage I was seeing when you were walking through kind of how this works is, do you guys offer sit-stand desks?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I was like, oh, I hope I don't ask something they don't have. But that's always the other debate, right? Like, well, how many? Do we do all sit-stand desks? Do we do some sit? You just don't know. Right. And so the ability to sort of manage that as you learn and, you know, add more as you need or swap out if you need to, I think that's a tremendous advantage as well. There's just so many unknowns when you're serving a population that doesn't exist yet, right? Or that is going to change or is going to grow. I mean, either in co-working or to your point, you know, in enterprise, it's just the shifts can happen quickly. And also just the evolution of people's preferences.
Well, and it's a good point, Jamie. And I think I've heard it at both the Flex conference and the GWA conference independently, is that, you know, fast, flexible, on demand, yes, you know, has got to happen. And it can't happen, you know, in 2 to 3 months. And preferably it's not going to happen in 2 to 3 weeks. I mean, we want to see it happen maybe in 2 to 3 days. And so I think helping our customers understand too what options exist, because you may say, well, we want something that's agile and scalable. We want to be able to, say, move walls around. Well, that's fantastic, and it changes the whole floor plate. But there's also a difference in terms of just, I think, the language we're using, that flexible can also mean, well, can you actually turn a sit to stand into a cubicle? Can you change it into a credenza? Yes. And so there's different elements of what is actually flexible and adaptable and changeable. And, you know, not one is right for, it's not one size fits all by any means, but just helping our customers understand there are many elements within the flexible model that, you know, can mean a lot of different things. And what is truly flexible for one entity might be different, you know, for another, but it's just something to consider.
Totally. Yeah. I'm glad you made that point. I think when you were saying sort of the fact that Lisa Picard did our lunch keynote this year, and she uses that phrase, fast, flexible, and fun.
And fun, and yeah.
Yeah, I know. I love that, the three Fs. And the fun thing I was relating to your business is, I don't know if you met Mara Hauser at the conference.
She
Design panel. You know, she talks about, you know, you might want to change out your lobby furniture. You might, you know, after, she helps people to think about like what might be sort of static. You know, you might have your desks for 5 years, and then maybe at the end of 5 years, either they're still great and you buy them, or, you know, you swap them out. But things like lobby furniture, maybe you want to freshen that up because your long-term members are like, oh, same old, you know, chairs. And with a solution like Court, you can do that. You can kind of mix it up and, you know, rearrange sort of soft seating, you know, every couple of years or whatever makes sense, and not own it and not have to sort of deal with the process of disposing of it and getting new. You can go to your website and pick out some new fun pieces.
Well, and it's perfect for, in particular, the co-working operators, because again, yeah, your common area is going to have the most wear and tear. It's going to be probably the areas you want to change the look most often. And then, you know, you can give members the ability to decide if they want to have their own, you know, product in their offices and, you know, how they want to do that, because obviously those will be closed off the majority of the time, you know, to the public. So I think it's also, yeah, about understanding it doesn't have to be one or the other, you know, that you're purchasing or that you're using furniture as a service.
Yeah.
There's plenty of parts of your business where, you know, it makes sense to have everything fixed and it's going to stay put. You'll get your money's worth. It's a good investment. And there's parts where, you know, you can really free up that initial capital expenditure by, you know, opting for a rental option initially, at least, and kind of see what works best for you before you make that huge investment.
Yeah, because it is a significant investment. It's one of the, it's a major upfront cost to starting a space. And also for any landlords that are listening, I did an episode with Mike Creel, who is also at the conference in DC, and he was talking about relationships he has with landlords. And he said, you know, they will understand the model and they'll kind of get ready to roll with like a management agreement. But he said one challenging component is usually they don't have a budget for furniture, right? Mm-hmm. That's just not something they've ever bought. The tenant buys the furniture. And so it's that whole discussion. He said, you know, sometimes in their agreements, they'll finance it, or you could use a service like Court where it's part of the operating expense. And so, you know, you're renting, so you don't have to come up with all the costs up front and figure out who's going to pay for it.
Exactly.
And that's a big point right now. We've heard it at GWA. We heard it at Cornet. We heard it at IFMA. The big conversation right now, or as I like to call it, you know, the workplace elephant, is still the financial component. And everybody's kind of in that unknown period of, well, how can we transition? I mean, we know what the national averages are. They're $24 to $32 a square foot for furniture.
Just for the furniture, yep.
Just for the furniture. And, you know, what tenant today really wants to walk into an empty space? You know, whether you're an operator or co-working or flex space or even a landlord, you have to differentiate yourself, but you also want to conserve capital until you have a signed lease, either with a tenant or an operator. And that's exactly what this model allows you to do, is to keep that cash on hand while still providing that need or that want of the visual of people coming through the space. And then to your point, Jamie, once someone confirms, they either transition that rental to into their lease, they can build it right into that, or they can have the option to acquire it. Or as you mentioned earlier too, some people might have different furniture needs and wants, and the visual got them in the space, but they're ultimately going to go down the other road. Well, now you don't have any of these long-term carrying costs or storage costs because you come pick it up, giving that ultimate flexibility. So
totally. The big red truck rolls in and saves the day.
To the rescue.
So let's talk about what type of support do you provide on the front end in terms of kind of space planning and helping a client figure out what they need for their space if they don't come to you sort of with an order in hand because they have a designer that they've worked with?
Jamie, it happens. It's a pretty organic process and it's really different for everyone. I think our team takes a relatively similar approach, which is really just to sit down, again, depending on who it is within an organization or an operator that we're speaking with, and just ask those questions up front that, you know, they've probably considered, but maybe haven't laid out a clear plan. So it's, okay, what are the short-term, you know, goals of this space? And how do you see it playing out? You know, what are the needs of the employees most likely going to look like, you know, in the immediate future, 1 to 2 years? What type of lease, you know, are you in here in terms of the actual physical space? And, you know, let's align that. What business events, triggers, things may be happening that could cause any major fluctuations? Are you in the process of acquiring businesses? You know, just what are the long-term and short-term immediate needs of the space, of the employees as you know them today? What type of, you know, budget are you operating within? And tell us about what you've done in the past, you know, because a lot of times we'll uncover areas that are key to focus in on that we want to get them away from. Say, for example, we've been purchasing for years and years and, you know, furniture's had to go into storage and now we have all of these assets we have to get rid of. So, you know, trying to steer them away from what may have gotten them into some, you know, tough spots in the past. And then just coming up with, okay, so here's a plan. Maybe like Greg said, it's not the entire portion of your business, but here's a plan to accommodate, say, this particular division or, you know, this group. And here's what it could look like, you know, for the next 12 months. And if something changes, you know, here's, you know, basically you're going to call us directly and we're going to come out and reassess at that time. And of course, there's the detailed things we're going to do. We're going to provide the space planning and the CAD drawings. And, you know, sometimes our customers will come into our showrooms if they sort of need to have that tangible experience. But, you know, setting up design boards and all the things you would expect from, you know, professional interior design services, we're going to provide and really go down the path of making the best financial decision in this particular moment with the client is the goal, with the understanding that, again, if you call us up in 6 months and say, well, we had a major, you know, shift in headcount and we need to eliminate this entire section or we need to ramp this up and turn these 10 sit to stands into 20 cubicles, you know, can you have somebody out here to do it? And, you know, we'll have a local rep in the market out there reconfiguring and redesigning. And that's part of the ongoing service. We'll come out and make that change for you. And as, you know, little as 2 days in most cases, depending on the product, and, you know, get you back up and going. And it's just like Greg said, it's an ongoing relationship and conversation throughout the life of the lease term.
Yeah. And just to piggyback a little bit on a couple of the points that Mercedes mentioned about, you know, aligning and, you know, one of the things that we like to share is, you know, JLL's report on where the flex office is going by 2030, yes. Which is, you know, 30% of the entire CRE inventory will be flex space. Well, if you look at that model or that message as it relates to today, well, that's telling us that even today people are looking at their current real estate asset mix and saying, okay, well, how are we transitioning from the traditional and providing some flex space opportunities if they're a landlord directly or if they're going to bring in an outsider like an operator or a co-working or flex operator? How are we identifying that and how are we aligning our assets properly for what the needs are today and then gives them the ability to change? And we have that same question. We say, okay, well, if you're going to create flexible environments within your real estate asset mix, how are you identifying what you need to be flexible within those spaces? Because those are the spaces that are going to constantly change more often more than their traditional spaces. They're probably going to be less than 7-year leases.
Right.
And then that's when we really dig in deep. And as Mercedes said, have those financial conversations about, well, this is what that cost is going to be if you do a traditional mindset on your FF&E on these flexible environments. And then what's going to happen as those continue to change, as you continue to build them out and those needs change? Well, now you're stuck with a traditional mindset in a flex space. or vice versa. And we really try to keep them away from that. And that's really what our solution is driving today. And more people are taking advantage of it. And just to share a live story, we were working on one project for a customer of ours. We got the update today that they need to be in the space by mid-December. And ultimately, their original space that they had taken on, it was about, I'd say probably about 19,000 square feet. By the time they got to the point where they committed to taking the space for the 18 months, a portion of that space had been leased already by their landlord. So now their space requirements changed. And because they didn't rent or because they didn't buy initially for this need, which they would have had to do if they wanted to be in middle of December, we were able to pivot the space plan very quickly without it actually costing them any money or even having them any carry costs or canceling of any orders. We just said, oh, okay, great. We just don't need this piece of the space anymore. And we're going to go forward with this type of an asset mix. So that's the flexibility.
Yeah. And to your point with the 30% stat that JLL likes to share, I mean, I think a lot of that is sort of landlord space and the, you know, a lot of tech companies that need that flexibility. As I mentioned, I was at WorkTech a couple of weeks ago, and our board president, Mark Gilbreth, did a panel with Robert Teed from ServiceNow and the head of real estate for Atlassian. And they just, you listen to them talk and it's exactly, it reflects exactly what your team is seeing in the marketplace. It's like just this expectation for flexibility. It's like now that we've told people, okay, it's normal that you can't plan for, you know, 7 to 10 years out. People are like, you're totally right. We cannot. And so we really need the flexibility. And they're adding people quickly. They don't know where they're going to have a regional office versus a co-working space versus they just need it to be easy and flexible. And you know, their competency is not furniture. They just want it to work and they need to get their people in, and but they need solutions that fit their culture. And so they need options. Can you guys talk a little bit just kind of about the breadth of your portfolio in terms of furniture options for, you know, more traditional workspaces to tech spaces that are, you know, a little more hip and happening?
I think over the last, 5 years, we've seen huge advances in terms of, you know, what we're able to offer, you know, really going now beyond, we realize that we're not just filling, you know, a lead time gap or just a transitional event. You know, we really are becoming part of a long-term strategy. So, you know, we need to go, like to use to your point, you need to go down the path of having things that fit more of like the, you know, the venture capitalists, the startups, the touchdown spaces and the phone booths and all the cool stuff, you know, that people want. And then you've also got some locations where, you know, especially with these enterprise users, they need to feel like even though they may be in a shared space or a flex space, they need to feel like they're not that far away from the original headquarters. So, you know, we've gone a lot deeper in our just, you know, traditional, I guess what you call workplace furniture with, you know, the desks and credenzas and, you know, the regular stuff you've seen before. But in terms of getting more movable product and more benching options and teaming areas that we're able to, you know, reconfigure into a private office from a teaming area type setup, we've really come a long way. And of course, as those things evolve, sit to stands, that kind of product becomes more popular. You know, the seating also changes and a lot more modular looking furniture and the ability to have privacy while still being in a shared space.
More and, open layout.
Yeah. And of course, you know, everyone's got to charge some device. So a lot more built-in power and, you know, the ability to pretty much just take your laptop and plop down wherever you need to be and keep things going. But also, you know, for the customers who still need to have a little bit more of that traditional feel, those offerings still exist.
Yeah. And then even touching on even the breadth of quantity, I mean, I think what big advantage for what we're providing because of our footprint and because of the amount of assets that we own today, you know, we're able to make a space or build out a space for a customer. I shouldn't say this build out. We're able to fit out a space for a customer in, say, California, and then next week do the exact same thing in New York, Chicago, Atlanta, because of the depth of the inventory that we have. And we're constantly, I mean, our market, our inventory team does a fantastic job of staying on top of what's happening. Our workplace team stays in, on top of what's happening and what's changing and how we're evolving. So we're constantly bringing in, you know, millions of dollars worth of furniture every year to stay on in front of what the look of the industry and what people are wanting. And then the advantage of what we do is, you know, we just have a ton of inventory that we're able to meet the needs of, I would say, core lineup. probably 90% of what everybody's looking for today.
Yep.
And even tomorrow for the most part, because we do need our assets to stay out there and continue to service customers for a specific period of time. And then for that 10% group, we have the ability to buy in pretty much anything and put it into a lease type structure for them. So we're very adaptable to our customers' needs. And then, you know, evolution-wise within our inventory, we're constantly changing and traveling the world to see what the new trends are and stuff like that. So
I was just poking around your website and I noticed one of the office scenes had lockers in it. And that's another great example. Co-working spaces are always like, lockers, we need lockers.
Yeah.
And yet,
yes,
it depends, right? Sometimes, yes, your market will use lockers and sometimes they just won't. Like you'll buy them and they'll be super expensive and you'll buy a lot of them and they'll not get used. And so renting some to start is a great example of being able to test and then you could choose to buy or not.
It's funny you mentioned the lockers. I literally was helping a client of mine, a large insurance, a national insurance company. They are undergoing a company-wide audit and needed lockers for these contractors that they're going to bring in for 12 months. And so in four different markets, two in Texas, one in Arizona, and one in Florida, they needed to deploy over 150 lockers per location for 12 months. And so again, that's a very specific.
Totally, but super interesting because, right, it's a short-term need and they don't want to own the lockers. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a start and an end to it, which again, that's kind of our bread and butter. That's the things we've always been good at supporting. But yeah, to your point, again, those lockers have a lot of applications and it's just one of those things you really don't want a lot of them lying around if in fact it ends up not being the right, you know, fit for your space, your business, and we can make them go away.
Right, totally. Or bring more.
That's right. If you want more, we have them.
And Jamie, you touched on a nice term there, the testing a space. So, I mean, with the furniture as a service model, I mean, it really gives customers in all CRE types of environments the ability to test out a configuration or test out a new way of alignment of the furniture in the space. Take, for example, when benching became the hottest thing since sliced bread in the inventory, in the industry, you know, a lot of customers went straight to, we're repositioning the layouts and we're going with benching for everything without really doing a test between their organizational unit.
Yep.
And some customers actually ultimately bought a ton of inventory and then it turned out that benching wasn't actually the right play for some of their organizational groups, like their sales teams. Really tough to put 400 or 500 salespeople in benching and then expect them not to complain about noise or anything like that because they're sitting side by side, you know, for 8 hours on the phone, right? You know, the ability to have to test and test product and test layouts before making a permanent purchase. You know, we don't go against if permanent is what they're ultimately going to do, but we can support what that those changes are, especially in that test or pilot environment. And I think that's another big thing that the people are starting to realize.
Yeah, the testing point is a great one. Even if you're just testing for a couple of years, I mean, you just don't know until you know. So the ability to test and then things change. Even benching, I think, has changed. I have a space in Palo Alto and people are very accepting of benching because that's what Facebook does. That's what Google does. But I think, you know, as we've learned more about privacy and how people work, you know, just some of the expectations around how benching's designed, what side the desktop is, where the screens are, you know, sort of having a little bit of your own space even evolves. And so being able to update that over time is great as well.
Mm-hmm.
What have we not covered that I should be asking or that you want to share?
Hmm.
I know that's my last trick question.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably the easiest one. I think this was a good conversation. And I know from my perspective, we have always felt like Court has been in this game for, you know, a long time. And this has kind of always been what we knew we, you know, could do well, quite frankly. But it's been really, really helpful to be a part of conferences and organizations and even like podcasts like what you're doing from GWA, Flex Conference, whatever it is, to help us learn where we position ourselves appropriately. Because it doesn't matter how great we think, you know, the solution is or where we've seen it work before. If we're not speaking to sort of this ever evolving world of co-working, this explosion of co-working that seems like it changes day to day and understanding what the different needs are of all the players involved from commercial real estate to, you know, owners, operators, then it really doesn't matter, you know, how good the solution could potentially be. And so I think that I'm really appreciative for platforms like this to talk about it and let people know, don't think, you know, your business does or doesn't fit you know, a good application or wouldn't be a good application for this. Everything is, let's just take a look at it and see what makes the most sense, you know, for you. That's, we want to educate and we really want to help because we do see all the mistakes that get made, some very costly, some not such a big deal, but we want to help, you know, and really be advocates for in this industry and partners. So that's sort of my shameless plug, but I really do feel that way. Even in the past year, I will say it has helped me a lot to educate about where I need to be positioning myself and having, you know, the conversations that will make a difference no matter what the end user's ultimate goal is.
Yeah. And likewise, I think it's really helpful to get folks like you engaged so that we can understand what the solutions are. I think a lot of times, you know, people just don't know, especially co-working space operators. You know, oftentimes they see the opportunity, you know, or even landlords, right? But they've never designed a space. They've never had to do that component. So they're just, none of it's hard per se, but it's just knowing what the roadmap looks like and who to call and, you know, what solutions might be a fit. So yeah, I'm happy to share and help people understand what the potential is and what's out there that they should explore. Absolutely. Greg, any final words?
No, as Mercedes said, we really appreciate, you know, your time and taking and setting this up to have the conversation with us, because I mean, this is what we do every day. We help do the due diligence for our customers and folks that just have questions. And we encourage that. We're not engaging 100% of the time just to say, hey, what kind of lamp can we rent you? We really want to understand, you know, folks' businesses, because as the business changes, I mean, we're trying to stay on top of it for our customers and we're trying to be their experts in making changes as well. So, you know, platforms for like this allow us to kind of give a better understanding of what we're doing, and we really appreciate it. So thank you.
Oh yeah, totally. Well, I didn't mean to, you know, make your last word lots of thank yous, because I think absolutely likewise goes both ways. So if folks want to, so obviously has a website and we'll link to that in the show notes. If they have some specific questions, what's the best way to get in touch?
So we've actually created a really cool little DL just for this podcast. Ooh. But they can contact us at gwa@court.com.
Oh, wow. That's super fancy. I love
that. How about
that? Yeah, totally great. Okay, good. We'll make that'll be an easy share on social too. Perfect. Good. So yeah, that'll be in the show notes, but super easy to remember for everybody who's driving around listening to the podcast. Good. Well, thank you both for showing up, for coming to our events, and for being willing to kind of jump on the phone and answer all my detailed questions about how this works, and for just adjusting as the marketplace does. It's really fun. It's a fun time to be a part of the industry. There's so much changing and we're all in it together.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.